And good morning to everyone online. Yeah, today is the last of in our series of As Told by Luke. And before I start on the passage, which, by the way, is on page 1038, and you'll find we're starting at verse 40, which is at the very bottom of the left-hand column. But before I start, a couple of words of introduction, because firstly, I think there are two ways of preaching on this passage. One is to a church that is inclusive and welcoming, and the other is to a church that definitely isn't. Now, I believe that we are a church that is inclusive and welcoming, and we don't flinch at complicated stories. We're used to and we allow difference. Many of us have already discovered the freedom of being honest about our lives. So today, as we listen to the story of the woman in Luke, I'm not assuming that we're starting from scratch by any means, but I hope that the story will help to deepen something that we're already living. Being a community where people are not just welcomed and tolerated, but truly seen and understood and accepted. And secondly, as a man, I'm conscious that this story touches on a woman's very personal, very private health struggle. The Bible's very discreet about it, and I'm going to be discreet too. But I don't want us to miss the real heart of the story, because it's not just about her medical condition. The heart of the story is what Jesus does with hidden suffering, hidden shame, difference for men and women, for old and young, for anyone who thinks, I'm different. If people really knew, they'd have nothing to do with me. Anyway, let's hear the reading. Oh, look, a Bible reading stall. How convenient. There we go. So Luke chapter 8, starting to read at verse 40. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Luke only gives us a few brushstrokes about this story, a woman who's been bleeding for 12 years, but a long-term, constant, debilitating condition. Even more than that, in her world, in those times, she is seen as unclean. That meant people would avoid her touch. Anything she wore, she touched, she sat on, she lay down on, was considered unclean. Imagine how that affected everything in her life. Family life, friendships, worship, intimacy, belonging. If you want to know why all that was considered unclean, you need to dip into that fascinating book, Leviticus. You'll find the details about her condition and why she was considered unclean in Leviticus 15. Even worse, she had spent everything she had on trying to be healed and nothing had worked. So just imagine the condition she's in. Physically drained and uncomfortable all the time. Cut off from worship, from intimacy, from belonging. Financially exhausted, emotionally worn down. But if she walked into this church today, I think we'd welcome her. We'd ask her name. We'd introduce her to people. We'd tell her all about what we do and what we have to offer and what Jesus has to offer in her life. We already do that for those whose lives are complex. But for her, there's a bigger question. Can I bear being seen? And that impacts how we should practice our acceptance. Look at how she approaches Jesus. She doesn't face him openly, the same way that Jairus did. She comes in from behind, through the crowd, hoping for a quiet miracle, but no conversation. If I can just touch the edge of his cloak, that'll be enough. Her faith is real, but her instinct is still to hide. Even in a crowd, she's trying to pass through without drawing attention. And I bet some of us know that feeling sometimes. We're in a safe church, but there are still parts of the story we'd like to keep small. We'll ask for prayer about some things, but not that thing. We trust people, but we still carry pockets of, I'd rather they didn't see this. She reaches out and touches the fringe of his cloak. And immediately the bleeding stops, she's healed. Why the fringe? Well, back into the Old Testament again, Book of Numbers, chapter 15. You'll find out all about the traditional cloak that Jewish rabbis wore with four tassels on them. And a superstition had grown up amongst the Jewish people that if you needed healing by touching the tassel of a rabbi's robe, you could be healed. And that's exactly what this woman thought. And that's what she did. She reached out and touched the fringe of his cloak. After 12 years of failure, one hidden moment of contact with Jesus changes everything. And if the story ended there, it would be a beautiful, private miracle. She comes, she touches, she's healed, she goes home. But Jesus doesn't let it stop there. He stops, turns, and draws her into the light. Jesus is surrounded by people. They're crushing in on him. And he's moving at pace. He's got a very urgent mission to go and heal Jairus' daughter. Really important, really urgent, really important person. And crowds are there because they want to see yet another miracle from the Lord. And Jesus, the disciples' puzzled reaction, though. Everyone's touching you. But Jesus said, someone deliberately touched me. And that's the difference. And I felt power go out from me. See, there's a difference between being around Jesus and reaching out to him and touching him in faith. Many bodies were bumping into him, but one person connected with him. Then comes the moment she's been trying to avoid. Jesus calls her out, and realizing she can't stay hidden, she comes trembling, falls at his feet, in front of everyone, of all that crowd who've considered her unclean for 12 years, she comes clean, literally. She tells exactly what her story is and how she's been healed. Even in a welcoming community, that kind of vulnerability is costly. So for her, it must have been really something. She's owning to 12 years of illness and exclusion. She's admitting that she pushed through the crowd, touching other people, although the law said she shouldn't. And she's saying out loud the shame that she's tried to hide for so long. And what's Jesus' reaction? He speaks three sets of words that completely reshape her life. He calls her daughter. That's the language of family, the language of belonging, the language of tenderness. He affirms her faith. Your faith has healed you. Her faith was imperfect, riddled with superstition, but he gave her acceptance. He sent her out clean in the sight of everyone there. And he sends her out with peace, the shalom of wholeness, giving her acceptance, not just a fixed body. She came wanting a cure and anonymity. Jesus gives her healing, identity, acceptance, and peace in front of the very people who used to avoid her. Now, for us here in TBC, I don't think this story is about correcting a lack of welcome in the church. It's inviting us to go deeper. Oh, it's August already. It's inviting us to go deeper, to notice the trembling moments among us and echo Jesus' words over those who have the courage to step into the light. So I think there are three invitations for us as a church which is already open, inclusive and welcoming. Firstly, keep welcoming, but keep slowing down. We already open our doors wide. We already make room for people whose stories don't fit our neat boxes. But Jesus' behavior adds another layer. He slows down. He stops. In the middle of an urgent mission, he stops dead for one hidden person. He allows her story to interrupt his plans. He refuses to move on until he's completed the healing miracle. And not what's more, brought her out of the darkness into the light. We live a busy, active life here in TBC. And the challenge is not that we're not welcoming. The challenge to us maybe is that we're too fast. The challenge is maybe we're so busy doing what we have to do, we don't stop, listen, understand, find out the story, accept. Who's in the crowd here but might need you not just to include them, but to stop for them? Is it someone who's been around for years but never felt they had permission or dared to go deeper? Is it the person who jokes about everything but's hiding real pain? Is it the person with the long-term condition who's just tired of always being resilient? Welcoming says, you can be here. Slowing down says, we really want to see you, understand you, and let Jesus give you wholeness and peace. Second, honour the courage of those who move from crowd to confession. In a church like ours, it's easy to forget how brave it is to move from vague honesty to specific truth. The woman's trembling actually is not a sign of weak faith. It's a sign of the emotional cost of the moment for her. And we can reflect Jesus' attitude to that trembling approach by noticing and validating the cost. Thank you for trusting me with that. By resisting the urge to rush to superficial, facile solutions, take as much time as it takes to listen and understand. Protect people's dignity when they've just revealed something raw. Of course, for some, the next step might be tell the whole church. Although for some, it might not. More likely, it might be tell one trusted person. The woman is compelled to tell her story by Jesus in the presence of all the people because Jesus chooses that moment for the purpose of declaring to all that she's now clean and to be accepted. But the Spirit may choose a different context for us. The key is the same though. Healing deepens as hiding decreases. Thirdly, Jesus doesn't only remove her old label of unclean, he replaces it with a new one, daughter. We already refuse to define people by their issues, whether it's addiction, sexuality, disability, divorce, immigration status, whatever. But today's passage invites us to go further, consciously use family language like sister and brother. You're not the sum of your diagnosis of your history. You're a child of God, and you're a child in our family. As we do that, people are less likely to be frozen in the role of the one with the problem. They find their place in serving, in leading, in belonging. Not as a project, but as part of a family. When someone shares something big here, let's not let the most dramatic fact in their story become the loudest word over them. Let us make daughter, son, brother, sister be the louder word. I wanted to give us a bit of space for God to work in us about those three invitations. Yeah, I've got time, I think. Three things. I want a short period of guided silence, then a brief responsive reading where the words will be on the screen, and then a closing prayer. So I invite you, if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes. And I'll read a couple of questions out. Is there a part of my story I still approach like this woman? Worried to reach out, to really let anyone see? Or is there someone in our church or in my outside network that I sense God is inviting me to stop for rather than just greet in passing? Let's just have a moment of silence. Now, I invite you to join in a short response. I'll say the words in the ordinary text, and you respond with those in the bold text. Jesus, you stopped for the woman who had suffered for 12 years.
Help us to stop for those who suffer quietly.
Jesus, you called her daughter and sent her in peace.
Remind us that we are your sons and daughters.
Jesus, you turned a hidden healing into a public story of grace.
Give us courage to bring our stories.
Jesus, you were not contaminated by her uncleanness. You made her whole.
Thank you that you are not afraid of our messy arms.
Oh, we don't seem to have the second page, unfortunately. So let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this woman and her story. Thank you that you stopped and turned, saw her and called her daughter. Thank you for this church's open arms and welcome for people who are different, complicated or wounded. Protect us from ever becoming just busy or superficial. Teach us to slow down for the one person in front of us. For those here today who are still like that woman in the crowd, faithful, present, but hiding something that costs them dearly, give courage to reach out to you, and where it's safe, to step into the light with others. Honour their trembling with your peace. Let your word daughter or son be louder than any other label in this community. May we treat one another as family, not projects. As beloved children, not problems to manage. Show us this week who you are stopping for and help us to join you. In your name we pray. Amen. So, having read the passage, I have six questions for you. No, I don't really, but I hope. But the answer to six questions are pretty well in what I've just said in the last 15 minutes. Thanks.